greetings to you once again in the name of the Most High. I greet you amidst all that goes on in this world, the simulation, the simulacra, the Maya world of illusion, whatever you want to call it, the reality, the construct that we find ourselves in here, which is quite laughable if you try to take it seriously, because logic and reason has gone out the window, and what we're left with is a bunch of people making it up as they go. You know, some of this COVID stuff has reminded me of when you know, like when you were a kid and you just play a game and you kind of just make up the rules, you know, like, this is lava over here, you gotta jump 6 feet. You know, don't come within my space bubble. You know, whatever it is, it's really this whole thing. Now, is there something going on out there? Yeah, there's been something going on. Has anybody been truthful and honest about what it is? Not the powers that be in control of a lot of the systems of communication and information. Not a lot of the people that are in positions of political power. Communications outlets, medical industrial complexes, a lot of people that are in decision-making capacities have not been honest and truthful about what's going on. Some of them have are under instructions. Some of them have nefarious profit motives. You want to see what that looks like? Go look at Pfizer's quarter one profits off of the techno jab, $3.5 billion. You think they don't have an incentive in all of this? They don't have a dog in the fight? They don't have a reason for people's panic and desire and willingness to get stuck with not one, not two. Now they say you're going to need a third one. You're basically going to need an updated shot until you die, if they have their way. Anyways, so amidst all of the confusion, the delusion, the disinformation, the ways and means in which people are led to and fro with every wind of doctrine, led to and fro with all kinds of disinformation to have dis-ease in their bodies, a lot of this being caused by the very constructs they're going into that are fear-based, that are traps, getting people to destroy themselves, giving people the wrong information. Okay, well, that's where we've been for this last year and change. And, you know, all of this has been really, you know, if you can kind of take the personal aspect out of it and be an observer in all of this, it's pretty fascinating what's happened. It's pretty incredible that people would actually, you know, you'd think, certain people you'd think, man, they would process, they're intelligent people, and not really. When the rubber hits the road, they don't want to break ranks because they need to conform, because their jobs are contingent on it, their paycheck is contingent on it, their belonging in a community is contingent on it, on towing the line, even if that means killing themselves, destroying themselves. Well, you need to know for yourself. We need to know for ourselves. You know, truth has a way of resonating inside of a person, inside of their life. Truth has a way of resonating within you. There's a big difference between that and having to convince people. When you've got to convince people of something versus the... it resonates. If you've got a heart for truth, You hear truth, you recognize truth, okay, there it is, and you go with it. It's easy. You know, I've been, you know, one of the questions that I've had for a while now, and I think I'm finally getting a little bit more clarity on it, was with regards to the Mandela effect. And specifically this question. I was given a Bible by a dear friend of mine in North Haven, Connecticut, the wonderful Barbara Marcotti. I was given a Bible, and I would, you know, in fact, I think she and I had the same Bible. Discontinued version, beautiful red leather bound. She got my name embossed on it. Gorgeous, perfect size Bible. Fits nice in the hand, large enough print that you can read it easily, and a nice font, but also like, you know, small enough that it traveled really well, and I was traveling a ton. When she gifted that to me, she told me at the time I was visiting, I was at her store, and she said, "I want you to pick one." And I looked through literally every Bible in her store, opened every single one. And this one was not on the floor of the store. And it was actually, but I'd seen it. I'd seen it there was a side table. That I'd seen this Bible. I said, "You know what? I really like that one." And she said, "Ah, you've got a good eye. Private stock." She had four of these tucked away. Two were red bound, two were black bound. So I took gratefully one of the red ones. I had that Bible, still have it, for well over a decade. And I had traveled with it and read in it over all of that time. And then one day I opened it up to read, and words on the pages that I had seen many, many, many times before had changed. And it made me pretty upset, because at that point in time I was still considering everything in the lines of, you know, things are, you know, what you see, like some continuity, some consistency. But words have changed. Specifically, I'll give you two examples. The lion laying down with the lamb was now the wolf laying down with the lamb, Book of Isaiah. And another one was the scripture that talked about you don't pour new wine into old wineskins. That now wineskins had turned into bottles, which made no sense given the context and given the background and given all these Bible studies we'd done, where it was explained to us how the wineskins stretched and how the old wineskins were stiff, and so they wouldn't stretch like that. And so that's why if you put the new wine in and it expanded, it would split. That doesn't happen with glass. Okay, it doesn't happen with a bottle. So I saw that, and I still needed and wanted an answer for how in the world, this is not a digital Bible, this is not somebody messing around with the code online, this is the travel hard copy Bible I've got with me. What happened? Now, people talked about the Mandela effect and all of that. Okay, you're talking about a specific thing that people are noticing here and there and everywhere. Oscar Mayer, Wieners, Vine. Okay, you're talking about, you know, placements of things on the maps. Okay, fine. But what's going on? And it's increasingly looking to me along the lines of simulation theory, I've come across some very fascinating people even recently, last few months. And, you know, just started taking information from different sources, different places, and comparing it to my own experience. And, yeah, you know, this is, it makes, now I believe there is some answers to all of this. Yeah, we are indeed in, it looks to be much more, we are in a simulation. We've come into this place, we're here, and we're here for this window, and then we're out. But this ain't real. Feels real because it plugs into our senses. Very much like that movie The Matrix. Feels real because it's jacked into your senses. But it's not real. And the ability for people to change the code or mess with that in order to make changes in the simulation, that makes some sense to me. Because I know from people that do programming, you change one line of code, you affect the program on all of the computers that run that software. So you change one line of code, and every hard copy King James Bible now says wolf and not lion. Every hard copy King James Bible now says bottles and not wineskins. Okay. Hey, if that's what it is, cool. I'm all right with that. I am okay with it as long as you don't lie to me. Now, is this the conclusion of the matter? No, but I think we're getting much closer. Because we continue to learn as we go through all of this. But if you know that this is a simulation, well, what are you going to do about it? If you know this is a simulation, what are you going to do about it? Have you ever had a dream, and in your dream you realized you were dreaming? And then all of a sudden, because you realized you were dreaming, you started doing all kinds of things in your dream because of the fact that you knew you were dreaming. Like, I mean, you know, you decided to fly because you realized you were dreaming. You decided to do all kinds of things, whatever it was. All of a sudden, it wasn't scary because you realized, hey, I'm dreaming. If you've seen that movie Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio, decent movie, not too thrilled with the guy as a person, but hey, that's what his job was, it's a decent movie. But at one point they've got a dream within a dream. Within a dream. Fascinating. You know, with the time that we spend here, when we get out of this thing, it's just going to be like we're gone for 2 minutes. Although it seems like lifetimes. Is that implausible? Well, we've been programmed. That word takes on a whole new meaning now, doesn't it? We've been programmed by society and by a lot of things around us to think very linearly, very rigid. But we even know from even what's accepted that time moves at different speeds depending on gravity and a few other things as well. So you can be in different places in the known universe and time will move faster or slower. We know, in fact they did, they conducted a test, maybe it's still there, who knows with the Mandela effect these days, but they conducted a test where they took two atomically synchronized clocks and I think a couple B-25 bombers and flew them in opposite directions around the world continuously. And then when they got to the met on the other side of the globe, the guys with the stopwatches got out, the atomically synced clocks, and the clocks were off. They were one was a little faster than the other one. Now, how did that happen if they were both synced? Time moved at different speeds. Now, that's within this paradigm. That's within this construct. So, yeah. So, I'm not really that worried or stressed about things here. All I've ever wanted in this regard is truth. Truth, so that I can now move it into action of, okay, if I know the truth of the situation, then I can make a decision of my own mind, my own reasoning, of my own accord, taking responsibility for it, and take the actions that I deem necessary going forward. Hey, if this is a simulation, if this is a simulation, I started checking out some stuff. New person associated with online, Jason Brashear. Started hearing him talk about, this possibility of this being Cataclysm Protocol. Hey, that's interesting to me. I'm in Sri Lanka right now. In the last week in Sri Lanka. Well, yeah, but no, actually, about exactly a week. We have had, the country has been locked down because of COVID. District travel banned, then a 3-day complete lockdown in people's homes. We've had a earthquake take place just across from us with a 6.6, and then a tsunami warning resulting from that. We've had been missed by a falling Chinese space station that missed this place by a whisker. Didn't even know that one was coming. Crashed into the ocean between close to Sri Lanka and the Maldives. We've had a cyclone and cyclonic and monsoon rains for several days in a row, and we've had significant flooding in the city. All of this in a week. So, yeah, Cataclysm Protocol makes a little bit of sense inside of a simulation. It also makes sense why I've worked globally in disaster management, development projects, creation of resources for countries and communities to be able to deal with these kind of issues, working with emerging technologies. All of that stuff makes a lot more sense to me now. But that's been part of my journey and life experience, continuously being offered opportunities in that regard and being brought into those circles to make and to work on and to do. Incredible, the events of life, of what's happened and how it's happened, and makes a lot more sense. But you know what? I'm cool with it. If this is part of what we're supposed to be doing here, figuring out solutions in a simulation because it's necessary for what's going on the other side, that's cool. If it is to get past all of these distractions, all these tricks, all these things, maybe it's a selection protocol, who knows? Maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a way of building our moral fortitude, of understanding consequences without having to bear the consequences, so that you make better choices in another arena that's much more real than this one. Whatever it might be, listen, it's all good. We're all good. and you don't have to worry about anything. Let's talk about the words of Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You got enough to deal with, but you can deal with it. And if you want to do anything, it's in the name, Faith Mix. You believe, and we take action. We mix that belief with action. We take steps. We do. What are you going to do this day? Whatever you feel on your heart, take a step in that direction, and everything is going to begin to work out and happen. You're going to see it for yourself. All right, keep on keeping on. Love you guys. Bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi to us there. Talk to you again sometime soon. Bye.